Take your Bibles, if you would. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Start out where the temptation came. Wouldn't it be a blessing to live in this life without temptation? That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? And but there, you're going to face it until the day you breathe your last breath. You're going to have temptation. And you might as well face it. And how you get past it, I'm going to show you this morning what the Bible says, how you can get past temptation. If you don't get past it, you're not going to mount anything for God. You'll never do anything for God. But the tempter showed up. He's called the tempter. The reason why, because he's an expert in tempting people. He knows how to mess people up. He knows how to mess up your life. He knows, he's an expert at it. He's had 6,000 years to know man, or actually, and just know how man is, what man wants. And what man wants is love. He wants attention. And same with women, same thing. They want love, they want attention. And the devil knows how to throw stuff at you. He knows how to put things at you, and he's called the tempter. And he shows up, and he shows up in the Garden of Eden, and he tempts Eve. That's what messed the whole mankind up, when he tempted Eve. And Eve ate of the tree. Y'all know about that. And some of my people think it was an apple tree. No, I believe it was a vine, a grape, a tree. That's why women wear lipstick around their lips, and they, you know, they show. You know, somebody took a bite out of something, and especially something looked like blood. And she took a bite out of that vine tree, because the devil is always connected with the vine. He's always connected there. And the tempter shows up. And when the Bible says, look not upon the wine when it's red. Don't look upon it. And women, they don't know why they're wearing lipstick, but that's where it came from. But in Genesis 3, in verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, and ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God put it right in the middle. Usually that's where the temptations is, right in the middle of your life, right in the middle of things in life. And it says, the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. You know, life would have been a lot simpler if God didn't put that tree there. Life would have been a lot simpler. But see, man has God wants to have a man that's not just a robot. He wants a man that makes a choice. And God put one tree in the middle of a garden that's got thousands and millions of different trees and fruit trees and all those things. God put a man in the middle of it, said that one thing don't touch. And usually when you tell children don't touch one thing, they'll always be the ones after that thing. They'll go after that one thing that you tell them they can't have. And that's the way man is. Man likes to go after that one thing that you say, you don't do it. 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 And man likes to touch it. Man likes to go after it. It's just something in our nature. It's called rebellion. It's in us. And that man likes to go after the things that God says don't do. And the Bible says, and God, he said in verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not die. And back up verse 3, and says, the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. God didn't say nothing about touching it, but she added to the word of God. Y'all know that. She added. And I say this every time I preach out of this passage. I remember Doc said one time, he said, a woman came up to him after he finished preaching and said, where would you men be without us women? He said, probably back in the Garden of Eden, fellowship with God. Amen. But what happened was he was willing to die with her than to live without her. And thank God, God gave the woman. And the woman was a helpmeet. But the tempter came and he went after the weaker vessel. And ladies, I'll tell you something, the devil's going to go after the weaker vessel. He's going to try to mess you up. He's going to try to destroy you. He's going to try to hit your emotions and all these other things going on in your life. He's going to mess with you constantly. I told this story about my wife. I came home one time from Bible school, and I was working 70 miles away trying to do roofing on my own. And I'm coming in the house, and my wife, you know, she was stirring at the stove. And I walked in. I said, you got my shirt ironed? I walked by her, and she says, yeah, it's hanging up in the closet, because I had to go to Bible school. And I said, what's the matter with you? She said, nothing. And when a woman says nothing, then leave it alone. Amen. Just leave it alone. But, you know, a man likes to meddle. What's wrong? What's wrong? But if she says nothing, guys, leave it alone. Amen. I'm telling you what, I learned the hard way that you don't want to mess with it. And I said, well, it's just the devil. And she turned around and yelled at me, it's you. And she started accusing me of being the one, for no reason. And then finally, I recognized who it was, the devil. So I walked over and I said, let's pray. And we went to our knees and we prayed and everything was fine. And the devil come to the woman, the weaker vessel, and try to tell her a bunch of stuff, lies. And he always comes at you with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He always comes at you in those three things, those three avenues. And you don't have to be ignorant of his devices, the Bible tells us. You don't have to be ignorant. He'll come at you with the lust of the eyes. That's why advertisement, day in, day out, they pay millions and millions of dollars just to advertise. Why? Because what you see is what you want. And when you see something, you see that new car, you see that new this and new that and new that, and you just want those things. And it's just our eyes are never satisfied with seeing, the Bible says. We always want more. We always want to see more. And then it says the lust of the flesh. And a lot of our problem is with the lust of the flesh. And we always like to blame the devil. There used to be a guy on TV, a comedy actor. He used to say, the devil made me do it. His name is Flip Wilson. The devil didn't make most people do what they do. The flesh makes them do it. And that's what the problem is. And the Bible says the devil came to Eve and tempted her in the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And she fell for it. She ate from the tree. And it says, and look at verse 7. It says, the eyes of them were both open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden of the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. Whenever God shows up in your life, you always got to hide yourself. Whenever you're not right with God and you've done something wrong, you're always trying to hide. You're always trying to be secret, trying to sneak around. And you're always trying to hide from God. You hide from other Christians. You never notice how when you're not, people are not right with God. I always run into people in Walmart in the middle of the night. They go to Walmart in the middle of the night, people that haven't been living for God. Oh, you go into Walmart, there they are. And they're running around, they're trying to hide from people, and they're trying to sneak around, and they don't want nobody to see them from the church. They don't want nobody to see that saved. And that remember that day we saw them beasts to be on fire for God. They don't want nobody to remember that. And they don't want nobody to bring up those things. But the devil shows up and he tempts you with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. You know, the Bible says all that's in the world is a lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's how the devil will come after you. And he'll come after you on a daily basis. Like I said, I wish there was no tree in the middle of the garden. I wish that wasn't there. May we still be living a sinless life. But that God gives the opportunity for man to make a choice. And he gives us daily opportunities to make choices. And you make choices in your life. When I grew up, my life, my whole family was just full of temptation, full of sickness and darkness and adultery and fornication and all those things. We're full of that stuff. And that's the way we lived. Our lives were just full of that, and drinking and partying, stealing and all those things, and it was just full of sin in our lives. And man, I got saved. I was sick and tired of that life. I said, Lord, I want to try to get away from this life. I don't want to be around this life no more. And that life, it follows you. It just follows you. And no matter how hard you try, no matter how far you try to get away from it, it still follows you. So take your Bible, look with me to Matthew chapter 4. Look at Matthew chapter 4. Jesus Christ dealt with it. And Jesus Christ came and he dealt with the sins of this world. He dealt with those sins. He dealt with the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that's how the devil hit him. You would think the devil wouldn't hit Jesus Christ with those same things, but he did. The Bible says Jesus Christ was tempted in all points as we are, yet without what? Without sin. You say, can you go without sin? Yes, you can. Is it possible? Yes, you can. I'm not preaching a sinless life. I'm not preaching a sinless perfection. I'm just saying we can go without sin if you want to. You say, well, that's impossible. It's not impossible. It is not impossible. Just like loving the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, with all thy strength, is not impossible if you really want it. And that's not saying you become a Pharisee and you walk around and look down your nose at everybody else because they ain't doing what you do. That's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about becoming a Pharisee or a self-righteous person. I'm talking about, man, fighting sin in your life, fighting temptation in your life. I mean, that's what the Bible talks about. And the Bible gives us an avenue to fight it. He gives us all the equipment to fight it. And he tells us, here's how you can do it. And here's how you can win. You say, well, I won't win every battle. Maybe not. You might not win every battle, but you can still fight. What happens is when you quit fighting, that's when sin overruns you. I remember during the Civil War, one of the generals said to one of his colonels, he said, come on up. I want you to come up to the front line and fight with us and help us. Help us on this one. And one of the colonels said, we just can't. My men won't move. He said, well, don't worry. You stay right there. The enemy's going to come right to you then. He's going to come right there. And that's what will happen. You say, well, I'm just not going to go forward. I'm just not going to fight. Then the enemy's going to come to you. He'll come right at you. And he'll come at you, and you say, well, I'm just not going to fight. Well, then you can be a conscientious objector all you want, but I'll tell you what, the fight's going to come to you, and it's going to overtake you or overpower you and destroy you if you allow it. Now, in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus Christ dealt with the devil, and the devil took notice of Jesus Christ, and he shows up in Matthew chapter 4, and then when Jesus led up the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. I mean, man, he's dealing with the main guy. He's dealing with the devil himself. And you say, well, he was Jesus Christ, but he was still in the flesh. He still had a human body. And he still, it says, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and on top of that, he didn't eat for 40 days and 40 nights. And he was weak. And the Bible says, he was afterwards hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Boy, I tell you what, I don't know about you. When you're fasting and you're praying, you can go one day and your body will beat you half to death. Go try one day fasting. Try it one time. Your body will beat you up. You'll say, well, I can't have that coffee. I can't have this stuff. And your body will go, oh, you better give it to me. You better give it to me. Oh, I'm going to make you sick. I'm going to do this to you. I'm going to tell you, the devil and the flesh is strong when it comes to that. And man, you start fasting and start saying, I want something, God, to do something in my life. I want God to overcome some things, that help me to overcome some things in my life. And you start fasting, I'm going to tell you something, you're going to have a battle on your hand. When the Bible tells you to put on the whole armor of God, God knows what he's talking about. Look at this, Matthew chapter 4, look at this. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And Jesus Christ kept putting the scripture back on the devil. Now, this is all preliminary. I'm trying to get through this. And then the devil taketh him up into a holy city and set them on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou at any time dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And saith unto him, all these things will I give thee. He said, the devil offered Jesus Christ all the world. He offered him all the world. He offered him everything. He said, I'll give you it all. He said, if you'll just bow down. Look what it says. If thou wilt fall down, worship me. And then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil leaveth him. And the angels came and strengthened him. So the devil came to Jesus Christ the same way he came to Eve, but this time, and Adam, this time Jesus Christ won. He used scripture. He used scripture on the devil. And he overcame the devil. He overcame that temptation. And the Bible tells us that temptation is going to come in this Christian life on everybody in this room. You're going to be tempted. Now, the Bible says God tempts no man with evil. Now, the Bible says that God allows temptation in your life. He allowed Job to be tried, but in the middle of his trial, he had temptation come from his family, from his friends, and all those things that came. He was being tried. Man, God allows trials in our life. I mean, April and Joe and the family, the Coleman family, went through a trial. They went through a trial. They're still going through a trial. They're going through a trial, but in the middle of their trial, they're not going to, you know, Lord helping them, not going to go fall into sin and temptation and deny God and turn their back on God. There's people in this room that's been through trials, and you've been through, and God's allowed things in your life. And you go, why, God? Why? I never realized some things that we go through. Maybe it was a sowing and reaping process that we've brought upon ourselves. Maybe that was it. But I'm going to tell you that the trials of our faith being much more precious than gold. The Bible says, they'll be tried with fire, shall be found under the praise and glory at his appearing. April was just telling me yesterday how she was in a room with a lady, she's taking chemo, and she was in a room, and the lady says she was crying her eyes out. And the woman, she's going through the same thing this woman's going through. And this woman is crying her eyes out and said, I don't know. I don't know about my faith. She's Catholic. And April got the witness to her real good. And I said, you know what? That's hard. It's hard to believe that, you know, she's going through what she's going through. But God allowed her in the midst of this thing, that she's trial she's going through. She's witnessing to a woman that maybe she could have never reached. Nobody could ever reach. But what she's going through. She's using it for God's glory. And I said, man, what a blessing. That gave me chills when she started telling me about it. I went, man, what a thing. She didn't deny God in the middle of her trial. She kept on serving God and keep on serving God. And man, I'm telling you something. God allows things in our lives. But trials are different than temptations. And the Bible talks about the trying of your faith being more precious than gold. God allows things in our life, but the temptations come too. Temptations that come on a daily basis. I mean, every day you live, I'd say everybody in this room, every day we live, we're tempted at least 30 times or more. Maybe more. Maybe more. Men are tempted by what they see. Men are tempted. Women always fall in love with what they hear. Men are tempted by what they see. And that's why the temptations are so great for a man. And men like to see. And you watch TV, you watch the, if you're looking at your phone, you're looking at that stuff, you got to be, watch out, man, because that stuff pops up and the devil will show you something and you start meditating upon it. And then before long, you'll be looking at it more and more and more. And before long, and like an old preacher said one time, he said, temptation, if it's not resisted, soon become necessary in your life. It'll become necessary. Your temptation, it'll come necessary in your life. You'll have to have it. Just like a drug addict. They got to have it. Got to have it. If you're not resisting temptation, you know, it starts out when you smoke a little weed, and then before long, somebody says, try this, try that, try this, and before long, man, you're hooked in temptation. Why? You went in and fell into temptation and went along with it. A fellow said one time, he said, watch out for temptation. The more you see it, of it, the better it looks. I mean, men fall in love with what they see. The more you see, that's why, like I said, the commercials and the things on TV look so good. Everything looks so great. Now, take your Bible, look in a great verse in your Bible. You need to mark it in your Bible. First Corinthians chapter 10. Great verse in your Bible. If you take heed to it, take heed to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Everybody's tempted. There's not a person in this room. You say, preacher, have you been tempted? Oh, I've been tempted many, many times. After I got saved, folks, before I was saved, like I said, we lived like animals. And my brother had triple rated X films and other people. I was looking at junk. I looked at all that junk's in my head. It's like a computer. It's in there. But how do I keep it down? You got to suppress it. You got to get rid of it. You can't never get rid of it. It's like a computer. It's always in there. But what you do is the Word of God, it says by the washing of the water by the Word, the more you get in that book, it suppresses that stuff and keeps it down. And then before long, you forget about it and it's gone. And that thing, but it's still there. It can be brought back up. It can be brought back up when you start messing with stuff. It'll be brought back up. The Bible says this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And like I said, I just heard on the radio, this reason why I said this morning, I just heard on the radio, they said September is the month of temptation. Couples, they start looking around. People start looking around. Singles start looking around. And why? They don't want to be alone at Christmas time, Thanksgiving time. They want to have somebody on their arm. And the temptations come. They want to go out to the bars. They want to get, I mean, you go to the bar, that's where you think you're going to get. And they go to the bars, they go drinking, they go carrying on, and they think, oh, I'm going to find somebody good. You ain't going to find nobody good in there. Nobody going to treat you right. They're going to treat you just like dirt, man. That's what they're going to do. I used to go to the bars too. I always say if a woman will smoke, she'll drink. If she'll drink, she'll do anything. That's what they said out in the world. If she'll smoke, she'll drink. If she'll drink, she'll do anything. And that same with a guy. A guy's always out looking for that. And a man is, a lot of times, lost men are consumed with that. They're consumed. I work with a bunch of roofers, and every time you turn around, a woman walk by, everybody be yelling like animals and dogs howling at them. And I say, hey, man, aren't you married? They say, hey, man, ain't nothing wrong with fooling around. I said, what if your wife is doing something like that? They go, she better not. I'll kill her. Look what the Bible says, verse 10, chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. They have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. God says, this is common. You're going to be tempted. But God is faithful. You know what? When I first got saved, going down the road, I would always have to say, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me. God help me, Lord, God help me. I was drinking. Before I was saved, I drank, I smoked, and I did drugs. And all this stuff come at me constantly. And they always say, idle mind is the devil's workshop. And man, you get going down the road, and you're thinking about stuff. And man, before long, you'll be going, I was going, God help me, God help me, God help me. Lord, don't let me fall into sin. God, don't let me shame you. That was the thing I was keep saying. Lord, don't let me shame you. Don't let this body that you bought, don't let me shame you. Don't let me shame you. And I still do that. I still ask God to help me. And you never get old enough where you say, well, I'm just not tempted anymore. You never get so old that you're not tempted. You say, well, man, you know, you get so old, your teeth and everything else is falling out and your hair falling out. Nobody wants to mess with it. But it's still there. Temptation is still there. And the devil is going to try to mess your life up. If you're trying to live for God, he's going to try to mess up your life. What people do, they think, well, I've been serving God. Why would, you know, that he wants you even more. He wants your children even more. Why? It'd be a little feather in his hat. And the devil came to Jesus Christ. If he could have got Jesus to fall, he said, well, Jesus couldn't have fell. But if he could have, why would, if the devil knew that Jesus Christ couldn't fall, why would he go after him? Why? He brought him up. He knew he was in the flesh. He was weak. Just think if Jesus fell. You and I wouldn't be here today. No, nobody would be saved. People that be in paradise be by works. They say a few speeding records ever been broken when people run from sin and run from temptation. The Bible says there is no temptation taking you but such as common to man. God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. God allows things to happen in your life. He allows trials in your life. And there's a difference, like I said, between temptation and trial. But sometimes in the Bible, it puts them two together. They go together. I want you to look at your Bible. Let's read on down here. It says, therefore, there's no temptation taking you such as common to man. God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able. But will with the temptation. He'll use the temptation. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape. God will use that temptation. What you need to pray is, God, give me a holy hatred to sin in my life. Pray on a daily basis. God, give me a holy hatred against sin in my life. We have a holy hatred against sin in everybody else's life. But not in our own. God, give me a holy hatred against sin. When I sin against you, give me a holy hatred against it. Look at here. He says, but will with the temptation also make way escape that you may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Worshiping people, things, houses, land, money. You know, the Bible tells us over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it says, the rich fall into temptation, a snare of the devil. When you're chasing after the almighty dollar, you'll fall into a snare because money becomes a god. It becomes a god to you. Money is a necessary evil, but it's not something that should control our lives. You say, well, I got to pay my bills. We all pray over. How many of y'all pray over your money? Pray over your money. That's a good thing. Pray, God, don't let me be foolish with it. God, help me pay my bills. God, help me to take care of the things I need to take. Help me tithe. Like I should. See, doing the right thing at the right time always counts. It always comes out right. Doing the right thing. When you're doing the right thing, you say, preacher, how do you know? I know because I've been through all that. And I'm still and fight temptation in my life. Everybody in this room fights temptation. If you're going to mount to anything for God, you're going to fight temptation. You're going to have all kinds of things come at you. You're going to have temptation to steal from your boss. Nobody's going to see it. You're going to have temptation, whatever. You're going to have temptation to lie. You're going to have temptation to lie about everything. You get caught in the sin, you'll want to lie. You say, Christians lie? Oh, yeah. People tell me all the time, I'm coming to church, preacher. I'm coming to church. They lie through their teeth. I was preaching at a funeral last week, and people said, we'll be in church Sunday. And I said, yeah, how many times I've heard that? Brother Lee said to me, how do you deal with people that's always saying, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this for the Lord, and they don't do it? I said, I realize all flesh is grass. And I pray, Lord, help them. But I'm going to tell you something. The Bible talks about the rich falling condemnation of the devil. See, the devil walks around, and I mean, we're nothing really compared to Job or David and all the others in the Bible. We're nothing compared to them. But the devil knows your weakness. And every Christian in this room, you ought to have a desire to get stronger. You ought to have a desire to get stronger. Not so you can take on the devil, but you can say, the temptations come, you'll be able to stand up stronger against it. It's like a wind blowing at you. You'll be able to stand strong for God. I mean, haven't you ever fell into sin and then you go, you say, man, God, why did I do that? Lord, God, I told you I wasn't going to do it. I told you I wasn't going to do it. Here I am. And what the devil will be right there whispering in your ear saying, you can't win. You can't get over it. You're not going to get it. You might as well quit. You might as well quit. You're not going to get past this. He's right there. You say, how do you know? He's done it to me. And he whispers in your ears and no, ain't no sense. It's no sense trying. No sense. Look with me to 2 Peter. Look at 2 Peter. They say half the trouble of a man's life can be traced back to saying yes too quick and not saying no soon enough. Saying no is, to a lot of people is a dirty word, but it's not. No is good. Look what the Bible talks about. Or actually, go to Luke chapter 8. Go to Luke 8. Go to Luke 8. We'll go to Luke 8 first. Luke chapter 8. Check this out. Luke chapter 8. And you're somewhere in here. You're in here somewhere. In Luke chapter 8. I'm in here somewhere. I want to think that I'm stronger. You know, the Bible says a man thinks himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. So you don't want to deceive yourself thinking you're stronger than what you really are. You don't want to, you say, well, I would never do, don't ever say, I'll never do that. Don't ever say that. Never say never. But say, with the Lord's help, I'll never turn my back on him. With the Lord's help, I'll never run around with my wife. With the Lord's help, I'll never steal. With the Lord's help, I'll never lie. With the Lord's help, I'll never do these things. Because the world does it like it's drinking water every day. It's nothing to them to lie. It's nothing to them to steal. It's nothing for them to, I mean, look at Congress. Liars. Thieves. Senate. Liars. Thieves. And man, and then it should not be in the church when Christians. We should not be thieves and liars, fornicators, and all those things that go along with the world. We should not be in that category. But a lot of Christians are. They're in there, and they'll go along with the world. They act like the world, start talking like the world, and start thinking like the world. And before long, they'll say, I'll see you guys. Y'all don't know what you're doing. You're a bunch of flakes, man. I'm just going to go out and live my life. And then they end up in a hellhole. And they wonder, how in the world did I get here? You didn't resist temptation. You didn't resist it. You fell into it. You went along with it. Look here, Luke chapter 8. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were there with him. And a certain woman which had been healed of evil spirits, infirmities, called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cruas, I can't even say that word, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered on him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come unto him in every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow, and his seed as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock. As soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And others fell on good ground and sprang up. Some bared fruit 100-fold, And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that have ears, let him hear what, and let him hear." He says, and disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, for others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those that by the wayside are they that hear, and then cometh the devil, and taketh away the word out of their mouth, out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved." And some, and he's telling you, he gives you a little insight what the devil does. He says that they are on the rock, that they which they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root. There's the key. Getting root. Rooted, grounded, the Bible tells us, which are for a while believe and in time of temptation. In the time of temptation. We see people saved all the time here. We see people getting saved, but time of temptation comes. Where are they at? You know what I do? I pray for them. I pray, God, deliver them. Lord, please, help them to come to themselves. Because the time of temptation comes, they fall away. And there's a lot of Christians that that been in this church that saved, and time of temptation come, boom, they fall out. And they would think, I never thought I'd go that far. I never thought, because I didn't resist. I didn't resist it. And then verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they heard go forth and choke with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. God's looking for fruit in your life. The only way that's going to happen is if you resist temptation. God's looking for fruit in our lives. I want to be fruitful. I want to be a fruitful tree. But on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart have heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And see, the Lord's looking for fruit, and what happens is a lot of times temptation comes and we get stuck on stupid. I went by to see a family the other night, and I tried to get them back in church. And what happens is they said, "Well, we can't come to church. We ain't got no gas money." They just bought a new car. We ain't got no gas money. Take your Bible, look in Luke 11. Look in Luke 11. It all depends on what you want. It all depends on what you want. It says, it came to pass that he was praying in a certain place. When he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." He said unto them, "When ye pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins." Notice, "for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us." I think the first thing you got to do is forgive people and then say, "God, don't let me get into temptation." But because the reverse goes, you go into temptation and fall into sin, you don't forgive nobody. You won't forgive nobody. "Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And he said unto them, "Which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him in midnight and say unto him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves. And then down verse 9 or 8, he says, "And I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is a friend, because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and it shall be you find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asks receiveth. He that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh it shall be opened." And so the Lord's saying, "Oh man, you got to forgive people and say, God, deliver me from temptation." Hell, I'll tell you one sure thing to keep you from temptation is I quit hanging around the people that kept making me or allowing me or allowing myself to get into sin. I kept hanging around. I kept hanging around. I got saved. I got around my old crowd, the old guys in the gang, and I got around them. And every time I turned around, I was falling flat on my face. They were laughing. They were mocking. They were saying, "This salvation thing is nothing to it." My family was mocking. My family was laughing because I kept going back, going back, going back. After I first got saved, I didn't have a whole lot of root in me. I didn't have a lot of growth in me. Some of y'all sitting in this room, you got a lot of growth in you. You got a lot more than I ever had when at that time. And you keep going back into temptation. Keep falling back into sin. Like, take your Bible, look with me. Look at the Bible, says in Hebrews chapter 2 about Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2. Hebrews 2, and look at verse 18. Jesus Christ is our example. What happens is we like to compare ourselves among ourselves. We say, look at so-and-so, he's doing it. Look at so-and-so, she's doing it. Or they're doing it. They're Christians. Look at them. Look at them. How come they get to do it and we don't get to do it? How come that? We always like to point our finger and find somebody to justify what we want to do. I'm going to tell you something. If you want to please God, you want to live for God, you'll stay away from temptation. You don't want good. I remember I went back to the bar after I got saved, and I would go in there. I said, I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to drink. I want to see my friends saved. I got back in the bar. I was drinking, cussing, just like Simon Peter started hanging around the fire. He got around the fire, and he says, I'm just going to see what happened to Jesus. And all of a sudden, they said, you're one of them. And he said, no, I ain't. No, I'm not. He said, surely your speech gives you away. You're not cussing. Well, blankety blank, blankety all. And the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. And the Bible says another place, Jesus' eyes met his. And they met each other's eyes. And Jesus looked at him. Can you imagine when Jesus Christ looks at us at the judgment seat of Christ? My Lord. Man, I thought about that. I thought about that. Man, I don't want to stand before him and have, God, I never did anything. I never resisted temptation. When you gave me a way to get out, you gave me a way. Hebrews chapter 2, look what the Bible says about Jesus Christ. Verse 18. For in that he himself have suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Chapter 4, look at chapter 4, verse 15. Look at verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. When you're going through something, you feel depressed, you're going through troubles, you got things going on in your life, he's all ears. He's listening. Yeah, you know what I found? I found people never pray, God, deliver me from temptation. People don't pray, God, don't let me fall into sin. They just fall in. And then the results of it, they go, God, take it away. Take it away. Take it away. But see, you forget the law of sowing and reaping is still in effect. You fall in temptation. Look at David. 2 Samuel chapter, go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel 11. Look at David. 2 Samuel 11. He falls into sin. Well, see, David walked along the rooftop and he sees a woman bathing herself. He sees this woman named Bathsheba. And I want to say this in a minute, show you how merciful God is. You say, well, God's so merciful, he's going to allow everything to turn out right. Well, it didn't for David. It ain't going to turn out right if you don't do right. And especially if God gives you the equipment, he's given you the ability, and you give God you know-how to get out of it. And you don't. You just go right on. God have mercy, man. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 11. The Bible says this. It came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon. And it came to pass, verse 2, in the evening time, that David rose from off his bed. He was bored. He walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself. That wasn't a sin. That wasn't a sin. She's out there bathing herself. That wasn't a sin. It wasn't a sin for him to see it until he stopped and looked again. It's not a sin when you walk by and go, oh, my Lord, woo, that woman's bathing. Man. But what happens is eyes are not satisfied seeing. David went, whoa, she looked good. Man. And he started checking her out. And then he said, said to his servants, who is that woman? And they all knew. They all knew it. Why? They've been watching. And David said, bring him to the house. And then he ends up committing murder. She's pregnant. He ends up committing murder. And then the baby dies. And he thought, God done forgot about it. Everything's good. Joab comes back from the battle, and he looks up at the king's, up at where the king's standing when the troops are coming back, and he sees Bathsheba up there, and he goes, wait a minute. Her husband was out there in the battle, and he told me to have him killed. Joab put two and two together. And you know what God said to David? He said, you caused the nations to blaspheme. You caused the nations to shame. Chapter 12, Nathan comes in and puts his finger in David's face, said, you're the man. And David pronounces judgment upon himself. And he said, that guy's going to pay fourfold, because that's Old Testament. David ended up paying with his children. You know what? That scared me the most? That's a high price. That's a high price to pay for sin, for a one-night stand. That's a high price. That scares me. I don't want my children, I don't want my grandchildren to suffer because of my sin. Amen. He said, God forgot about it, didn't he? Nope. Sin, or temptation not resisted, soon enough will become necessary. The drunkards down at the ward got bad livers. If you ask them, the smokers, you ask them that got cancer, was it worth it? Was it worth it? If you ask David, was it worth it? Did temptation not resist it? My Lord, temptation. There's, God says, I'll make a way to escape. With the temptation, I'll make a way to escape. You know what helped me? After I got saved, I've witnessed people, witnessed women, and all kinds of stuff. And I've had all kinds of stuff happen. Women exposed themselves to me and everything. So I kept Jesus Christ in the forefront. Even though my flesh says, what's the matter with you, man? What, are you crazy? This is what you used to go after. This is what you wanted. And I kept Jesus Christ up there. Said, hey, don't you die and go to hell. Stealing. I was a thief. I was easy to steal. It was easy to lie. But once you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God's inside you and says, don't do that no more. It was easy to steal. Don't you lie. Guess what we teach our kids? Don't you steal. Don't you lie. We do the same thing. Guess what? It'll come out on your children. What sins you allow in your life will come out on your children. Your legacy will be that. As a child of God, you say, well, God forgives. Yeah, he does. He forgives. But still, there's a price to pay. I'm not willing to pay that price. I want to stay close to him. Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 28. How do you get help? How to get victory in your life? How many of y'all want victory? I want victory. Now, I know me preaching this message, I know the temptation is going to come. Because whenever you preach something, I always pray for guys when they get up here and preach on something. Because I always pray for them. You know why? Because I know they're going to get hit. You're going to get hit. When you get up here and shoot off your mouth and about preaching and about living for God, then you're going to get hit. Every one of you guys know what I'm talking about? You call the priest, raise your hand. You know what I'm talking about. You get hit. So I know I'm going to get hit. But what it is, I know I can rely on God. Amen. There's no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. God allows the temptation to come. He allows in our life for us to make choices. He's going to allow you to make a choice. Do you love me? Hey, Simon Peter, he brought all that fish in. Hey, Simon, you love me? Yeah, Lord, I love you. Why'd you, I mean, remember you said you wouldn't go fishing. See, anything you put before God. Hey, Simon, you love me? 3 times. Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. God wants the best for you and me. He wants the best for his children, just like I want the best for my kids. You want the best for your children. God wants the best for you. He knows temptation will destroy you. It's not wrong, like I said, to be tempted. It's not wrong. But when you start meditating upon it, you start thinking about how I can get away with it, you start thinking, maybe I can get away with this thing. A man's always thinking about that. If man think about, how can I get away with this and still have a good testimony? Look at Proverbs 28:13. It says, he that covereth his sin shall not what? You ain't going to prosper. No way, no how. You ain't going to prosper. It's going to be hell on wheels. I mean, folks, this life is hard enough without having sin come in our lives as a child of God. I mean, you're going to have battles, but there's joy in the midst of things. You're going to have battles. You say, well, how do I get to victory? You judge sin in your life. Call it what it is. Stop tiptoeing around it. Call it sin. Lord, I've sinned against you. Do you know what David said? He said, I've sinned against thee and thee only. Have I sinned? God, I've sinned against you. Forgive me, Lord. So God forgive, but there's consequences. That's where most Christians forget. God will forgive me. I can do whatever I want. God forgive me. God forgive me for this. God forgive me. Yes, consequences, though. If a guy's looking at pornography, gets married, and he's constantly looking at pornography, what happens is marriage doesn't satisfy them. It's not sacred. It doesn't satisfy. So you start looking around more. You start messing, and that's, you just start doing other things. The Bible says, he that covereth their sin shall not prosper, but whosoever confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So what do? God, I'm sorry. Help me not to do that. I mean, really be sorry. I don't want to do that no more. God, cleanse me. Forgive me. You help me, Lord. Don't hang around. Make it hard on yourself to sin. If you hang around where sin is, that the problem you had is going to make it easy. Make it hard on yourself. Look at this. Look at Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15. Proverbs 15:10. It says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way. People that forsake the way don't want to hear it. Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. He that hateth reproof shall die. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth what? Death. A lost man, you tell him, you're going to go to hell if you don't get saved. Bring it forth death. So temptation is going to come in your life. It's not a sin to be tempted. It is a sin when you just constantly go after it. Constantly hang around it. Constantly feeding it. Why? Because everybody in this room, you got a little monster inside you. He's a little monster. And that little monster, if you feed him, he'll get stronger and stronger and stronger. That little monster likes to look at anything that's wicked. hear anything that's wicked. And that little monster get bigger and bigger and bigger. And before long, you can't control it. My brother is in prison for life. That monster got so big in him. It could be anything. It could be any temptation in your life. Gossiping. Temptation to gossip. Tell something, and then all of a sudden you got people against you. Why are they against me? Because you just spread a bunch of junk. You got to be careful. Temptation is going to come. It's different being tried. It's different being tried. But temptations will come every day in our lives, maybe 30 times more a day. You got to keep your mind in check. You got to keep your mind stayed on him. Got to sing songs. You got to forsake it. Judge it for what it is. I mean, you say, well, it seems like I'd be judging it all the time. If that's what it takes, that's what it takes. Yeah. Lord, that's wrong. I shouldn't even think that. God, forgive me. Yeah. I mean, judge it. But before long, you'll create a habit in your life. You'll create a habit of trying to walk with God. And that fellowship with God, it means so much to you. That you, the temptations that come, you say, I ain't messing with that. I ain't messing with that. Get away from me. I ain't messing with it. Because you want to walk with God. You want your fellowship with God to stay active. You want your prayers to be heard. You want that peace. You know what the world doesn't have? They don't have no peace. There's no reason why a Christian that's been saved not have peace in their life. There's no reason. No, none at all. But what happens is, like I said, the reaping process, you hang around sin, you start temptation, you get back into sin, and before long, there's no peace. You're constantly checking the phone, trying to find. You see people walking around all the time like this, trying to find some peace, man. Does somebody care about me? Does somebody want to know what I'm doing? They're constantly, everywhere they go, it's, hey, Jesus Christ died for you. What? Oh, I don't care. Hey, the Lord loved you, died for you, paid your sin debt. Oh, I don't care about that. Get out of my fanatic. Get out of my face. And no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. No peace. I mean, when a person's fighting, the Bible says put on the whole armor of God. Gives you the equipment. Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to fight against the wiles of the devil. The tempter is going to come after you. If you're trying to do right, but I'll tell you this, get a regimen in your life. Read your Bible in the morning. Pray. Talk to God. Sing songs about him. Talk to him. Sing praises to him. And I'm going to tell you something. It makes it a life a lot easier when it comes to temptation. Temptation's going to come. There's no way around it. David was just walking across his roof, just minding his own business. All of a sudden, he sees this woman. Before long, he started looking again. When temptation comes, when you start looking to twice. I mean, you can be innocent riding down the road, see something. That'd be innocent. But you start meditating upon it. I always say, God, get that thought out of my head. God, cleanse me. Wash me. Get that junk out of my head. What happens is, you got a dual nature. You got the new man. You got the old man. The old man's constantly trying to take back control. He'll constantly try to get back control of your life. So you'll go back to doing what you used to do. That's what he's constantly trying to do. Amen. If it's whatever it was, whatever it is, whatever sin or vice that you had in your life, he's constantly trying to get that back. Like the old gang of guys I used to be with, they were constantly trying to feed me junk, trying to get me back into the mess. And I had to forsake them. I had to get away. I witnessed to them, invited them to church, got away from them. So that's what you got to do. Forsake it, judge it, call it what it is. So that's wrong, Lord. Sin is wrong. Amen. Bible talks about, like I said, putting the whole armor of God on. So you need to do that. Don't quit fighting. Because this life is going to be a battle to the end when it comes to sin. But like I said, when you walk with God and temptations come, you go, I didn't need that. I know the end result of that mess. See, I've been around in the world. I know the end result of all that temptation. People think, oh, this is so great. This is going to be good. Good, I'm going to get all I want. I know the end result. I've seen it over and over and over again. Ask God to put the fear of God in you, give you a tender heart. Amen. Lord, thank you, God, for this day. Father, I pray, God, help us all. Help Faith Baptist Church, God, folks sitting in this room this morning. I pray, God, help them to put on the whole armor, God. Help us all do it. And, Lord, I pray, God, you, Father, deliver us from evil. The Bible says, give us this day our daily bread.